Well, this morning I want to talk to you about water baptism. We are planning in a few weeks to have a water baptismal service, a time when those who have committed themselves to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, they identify themselves as followers of Christ by being baptized in water. And it came to me this week that usually I talk about water baptism on the morning that we have a water baptismal service. Pastor Danette talks to our kids in preparation. Tiffany talks to our youth, or has our youth leaders talk to our youth about water baptism and so on. But it kind of occurred to me that I don't know if I've ever, since being your pastor in 5.5 years, have talked to you in preparation for a water baptismal service about what it is and why we should be baptized. We, as I said, in a couple of weeks' time, and we've kind of left the date flexible. We've had a couple of requests for water baptism, but we want to leave it flexible as those who have requested water baptism are available anytime the next few weeks. And so maybe there's someone here this morning or a member of your family and you'd like to be baptized in water, and, oh, I can't be here next week because of a commitment, then we will try to schedule the event so that we can accommodate as many of you as possible. So I've entitled the message this morning, I Have Decided. I should have worn my T-shirt. We have water baptismal T-shirts that say just that, I have decided. So if you get baptized, you can literally say, been there, done that, and got the T-shirt. That's right. There you are. You're listening. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, I know I spent a year in the book of Acts, and so I'm just going to go back briefly this morning. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, we read these words. Those who accepted his message were baptized. And so just reading those verses, those quick words, what we have here this morning is the conclusion to a very powerful sermon preached by Peter, accepted his message. In reference here is the sermon that Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, that iconic sermon where 3,000 people gave their lives to Jesus Christ, and it says those who accepted his message were baptized. It was the conclusion to a powerful sermon on that day when God gave his Holy Spirit, which would enable all people of every language and every tribe, would enable them to have the opportunity to hear, to receive, and to declare the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. The people who accepted this message were baptized. And so it leaves a couple of questions that we're going to answer this morning, hopefully. What message? The people who accepted this message, what message did they accept? What is baptism? They were baptized. And why did they do it? The first answer is very easy for us to find. In Acts chapter 2, where we read these words, those who accepted his message were baptized. If we go to verse number 22 to 24, we'll find the message that they accepted. Peter, preaching on the day of Pentecost, says this, "Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge. And you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him." The message that Peter preached on the day of Pentecost was that by God's plan, that God had a plan for salvation, that mankind could not save himself, and so God's plan and his foreknowledge, that with the help of wicked men took Jesus, the only sinless person who ever lived, and crucified him on a cross. but God raised him from the dead, and because of that, we have forgiveness of sins. That's the message that they accepted. These people accepted the fact that they could not save themselves, that there was no ritual or custom or no good enough in themselves to save themselves, and so they accepted the message of Jesus, and they were baptized. So what is water baptism? Many of you know we, right here, we have a tank behind this wall. There's a big or small, what looks like a small swimming pool, basically. A tank that we fill with water, and we practice an exercise in our church that we call water baptism. And so what is it? What is water baptism? Well, first of all, let me tell you what it's not. Water baptism is not a means of salvation. You will not be saved simply by being baptized. There's nothing in the water, contrary to Carrie Underwood's song. And yes, she sang some good words there. There's a change that can take place and whatever, but there's nothing in the water. There's no magical power in the water to cleanse you. The Bible tells us that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sins. It also tells us, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And so salvation comes by believing the message that God died for your sins, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and allowing His blood that was shed on the cross to cleanse you from all sin. Water will not save you. You'll get wet, but you won't be forgiven of your sins simply by being baptized. Water baptism is also not a denominational custom. It's not something that we made up as Pentecostals or as a Pentecostal exercise. We practice it along with communion because it is a reminder to us of the grace of God that was given to us by His death on the cross. It's not a means of membership in our church. Water baptism is, however, a New Testament practice for all believers. The early church preached the Word of God. They preached the message of Jesus like Peter did on the day of Pentecost. People became converted. They accepted that message, and they were baptized. It's clearly something for all believers. There's no distinguishing in the New Testament of denominational lines and so on. It's a practice for every believer, and furthermore, it was something that, and we're going to see this in a moment, that Jesus Himself felt it was necessary for Him to do. And so baptism, water baptism, is the scriptural or biblical response to accepting the message of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. In verse number 36 of chapter 2, Peter went on and he said, therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, the Jesus that he preached about, he said, God has made this Jesus Lord and Savior. And being baptized in water is basically an acknowledgement that I too am acknowledging Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It's a public declaration that this Jesus, the Jesus that Peter preached about, is Lord of your life. And so it's a public declaration. I watch football. I like football, NFL, college football. I've started to watch a little bit. A few weeks ago, I noticed on the TV guide that there was a high school, American high school college or American high school football championship. So I was curious. I turned it on, and this was the top two high school teams in the U.S. The U.S. does everything big, as you know. And so this was the high school championship, and they said that during the halftime, there's going to be players are going to be giving their declarations. And I had no idea what they were going to declare. I thought, this day and age, who knows what they're going to declare? But I was curious. And what they were declaring was which college they were going to go to. And so these were the top prospects, I guess, in high school. And they had been offered scholarships to various colleges. you know, University of Florida, Alabama, whatever some of the colleges were. And they had all the hats of the various colleges on the table. And the player would come, and he would, the drum roll and the build-up, he would take a hat and he would put it on. He would declare, "I'm going to go to the University of Alabama," or whatever the case was. He was declaring something in front of people, making it known that I am making a decision right now to accept the offer from the University of Alabama to go to their program and play football. Water baptism is a declaration. It's a declaration, not when you put on the T-shirt or even the water, but it's a declaration that I am accepting the message of Jesus Christ, that this Jesus gave his life for me. I've accepted him, and I want to stand today and declare that I am a follower of Jesus Christ. And so water baptism is a declaration by people that they have accepted Jesus Christ. They're declaring that Jesus is their Lord. Water baptism, and in a similar vein, it's an identification. I wear a wedding ring. Now, for a while, I wasn't able to wear it because I injured my knuckle and I couldn't get it on, but now I'm able to wear it again. It's a piece of gold. I don't know what it's worth, not a whole lot, because we spent all the money on Brenda's ring instead of mine. But it means a whole lot. It doesn't matter whether it was $200 or $20,000. It doesn't matter. It means something. It identifies that I have accepted as my wife this beautiful lady right here. And I wear it. It identifies me as a man who is married. And so there are other symbols of, we use other things to identify things. Just a couple of pictures here. First one, what's this? Or who is this? Or what is this? Come on, someone tell me. Canadian soldier, how do you know? There's no words there, Canadian soldier. The flag, the uniform. Okay, next one. What's this? Salvation Army officer, how do you know? It's not written there. There's no words, the symbol identifies it. Next one. Sometimes there are just no words. You've probably had to identify yourself at some point. You've gone to a doctor's office. Maybe you've gone to a car registration or to cash a check or I don't know, whatever. You've had to have something to identify you are who you say you are. So how is a believer in Jesus Christ identified? We don't wear a certain uniform. We come to church. We sometimes dress up nice, but we don't look any different than the person who doesn't believe in Jesus Christ, typically. We work at the same jobs. We attend the same schools. We, for the most part, we look just like them. Yes, our identification as Christians should be in ways that are not necessarily visible. Our lives should be different and all that. I get that, and you know that. But one of the most effective ways, based on the Word of God, that identifies us is water baptism. We are identifying ourselves as a child of God. Yes, the biggest difference in the child of God should be inward. It should be the inward change that takes place. But the biblical standard for identifying a Christian is being baptized in water. It's a biblical ordinance that was taught and also followed by Jesus. It not only identifies us as a Christian, it also identifies us as part of a family of faith. Rick Warren, purpose-driven life guy that you may have read and so on, pastor of a large church, former pastor of a large church in the United States, he said this, and I love this phrase, your baptism says you're not just a believer, but you're also a belonger. Water baptism identifies that you're part of the family of God, not a part of PPT. It identifies that you're becoming a part of the family of God. And water baptism is the practice that we use, the biblical practice that we use for that identification. Water baptism is something that the Bible mandates. I won't even say suggests. We talk about it being a symbol, and it is that, and I'll say a bit about that in a moment. It is a symbol. It identifies it. It's a drama that sort of displays me dying to my old life and rising to a new life. It's symbolic in that I'm having my sins washed away and so on, but it's more than just a symbol. If we see water baptism as merely symbolic, we may not see the necessity. Say, oh, well, that's great, but no biggie. And so is water baptism an option? I would say no. It's not a requirement for salvation, but I will say that I believe it's the expectation of Scripture. Jesus gave us the example. Matthew chapter 3, verse number 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized. Jesus. It's about him, but he was baptized and said, I need to be baptized by you. Or John tried to deter him, saying, but Jesus, I need to be baptized by you. That's what I would have said. You want me to baptize you, Jesus? Hey, I need to be baptized by you, not the other way around. And Jesus replied, let it be so now. It's proper for us to do this, to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. It's a commandment of Jesus. Matthew chapter 28, when he was sending his disciples out, therefore go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. If you go through the Gospels, particularly if you look at John chapter 4, and I won't read that this morning in the interest of time, but it was the practice of the disciples. It tells us that the disciples baptized many people. It was the practice of the early church. People came as they did on the day of Pentecost. They accepted the message and they were baptized. No, not requirement for salvation, as I said, but a command of Jesus in order for us to fulfill all the righteous requests that he has made of. You will never read in Scripture anywhere of an unbaptized Christian. When people accepted Jesus, they were baptized. Some people asked the question, when? I would say as soon as possible. There's a story about Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8, and he accepts Christ, and right away he says, hey, there's a river, there's a brook, here's water, let's do it. I would say this morning, who should be baptized? Everyone who has accepted Jesus Christ, if you're old enough to understand and profess salvation, if you're old enough to understand God's saving power in your life, then you are old enough to be baptized. In the book of Acts, baptism was always done without delay and should be done more regularly than we do, I guess. Some ask the question, well, what about infant baptism? Some churches practice that. That's great. An act of dedicating a child. We had a practice this morning of dedicating a child. Some denominations, some churches practice water baptism at that point. We don't. We don't do that because we believe that it's a personal decision. Just like you can't make a decision for your child to accept Jesus Christ, you cannot make a decision for them to follow Jesus Christ. And so if water baptism is identifying the fact that I'm following Jesus, it should be made by the individual. And so we don't practice infant baptism. We dedicate, as we did this morning, children to God. We acknowledge God's gift of life. We challenge the parents to commit themselves to raising this child. And when a child comes to an age of responsibility and they accept Jesus Christ and understand what Jesus Christ has done for them, and they ask then to be identified as a part of the family of God, we baptize them in water. Water baptism is a biblical requirement. Water baptism is a declaration of sorts. People have described it as a drama. Meyer Perlman, the theologian, said it's a sacred drama portraying the fundamentals of the gospel. And when we baptize someone, I'll talk about this again in a moment, we baptize them, it's signifying that they are giving up their old way of life and they are rising to a new life in Jesus Christ. And so in that way, it's sort of a drama that shows what's going on in our lives. It represents the reality of several things. One thing it represents, ironically, is a declaration of death. Not physical death, but of death to an old way of living. Story is told about two ladies who had just given their lives to Jesus Christ. And they were invited to a party that was promising to not necessarily be in keeping with their new life in Christ. And so they sent a reply and said, we will not be in attendance as we have both recently died. Well, that must have raised a few eyebrows by the quite the RSVP. But obviously what they're referring to is that they have died to that old way of life. That is not any longer. They're not living any longer for that way of life. They have died to that. The Bible says dying to self and living to Christ. Water baptism, maybe in its most simplistic terms then, represents the burial or the death of the sinful way of life and the resurrection to a new life in Jesus Christ. Water baptism is about us dying to our old way of life and declaring that publicly. You know, you think of a funeral. Someone is not dead because you have a funeral for them. You have a funeral for them because they have already died. And so it is with water baptism. Water baptism, we're baptized, we're not dead to sin because we're baptized. We don't get baptized and then that erases our old way of life. We erase our old way of life by accepting Jesus Christ, and then we're baptized because we want to declare that we are now dead to sin. We're saying goodbye to our old life and saying hello to a new life in Jesus Christ. It's a statement. My old life is gone. It's behind me. I'm a new person with a new life. Water baptism is also about obedience. The scripture says, repent and be baptized. It displays a humility and acceptance and obedience of Jesus' teaching and his example that he set for us. And of course, as I've already kind of covered, it's a testimony. It tells your church family, it tells your family, your community, you're publicly identifying, because salvation is something that takes place individually. It takes place privately. Salvation is something that we declare with our mouths, but something happens in our hearts. But it's a moment of baptism that becomes that public declaration that I am a child of God and I'm identifying myself with his family. Water baptism is all of that and more. Water baptism is done by immersion. You may hear the phrase, we baptize by immersion. What does that mean? Well, baptize simply means that. It means to immerse, to put something completely in something else. You've heard the phrase, someone say, oh, him, he's totally immersed in his work. You know, when someone says that, you get the picture. The person is just focused on that. It's a total immersion. It speaks of completeness. Something is immersed in something. It's totally inside of something else. Totality, completion. Sprinkling is not baptism. It's a practice, but it's not baptism. Now, this is not going to necessarily help you, but it's hopefully will help you. Might not help your ego, but hopefully it'll help you clarify something. There are two Greek words that are very similar. One is the word bapto, B-A-P-T-O, and the other one is baptizo. Baptizo, B-A-P-T-I-Z-O. They're related, they're very similar, obviously, but they're different. And a Greek recipe is probably our best way of making the distinction. And it should be well understood here in this culture because it was a recipe for making pickles. I mean, isn't the Ottawa Valley the pickle capital of the world? I mean, seriously, everybody makes pickles, and good pickles up here. And so in this Greek recipe from about 200 BC, the two words that are used in the Bible are also in that recipe. The first one is bapto, when you throw hot water, you know, over the vegetables to blanch them. The second one is when it's called baptizo. It's the next phase of pickling, when the vegetable is put completely in the pickle or the vinegar or whatever. So as I said, it's not doing anything for your ego necessarily, but the same process that's made for use for making pickles is made to baptize us in water. The believer is placed completely in water. Some people are, what's the pastor going to do to me? We baptize someone. We put them completely under the water, and then we rise them very quickly back out of the water. It's a drama, as I said. It portrays that reality that the person is being completely immersed in Jesus Christ, dying to their old way of life, and then quickly rising again to a new life in Jesus Christ. And so that's your water baptism 101, basically. It's something that I experienced personally as a teenager. And a moment that I always remember, the morning or an evening, I can't remember which it was, for sure, probably an evening in those days, when I publicly declared that I am a follower of Jesus Christ. And many of you, maybe most of you here this morning, you've had that experience. Some of you have experienced it here. I had a chat this morning before the service with Ron Lemke, and he was talking about the early water baptismal services in the Ottawa River. Some of you were baptized in salt water. Some of you were baptized in a river or in a lake. It doesn't matter where we're baptized. What matters is that we make that public declaration of our faith in Jesus Christ. And so this morning, as we prepare for water baptism in the next couple of weeks, maybe 2 or 3 weeks' time, we'll announce a date next Sunday. If you're a Christian, I would encourage you to follow the example of Jesus Christ, to follow the direction of the Word of God, and surrender your life completely to Him and identify that in front of your church family and your family of faith. If you're not a believer this morning, if you've not accepted Jesus Christ, then I would encourage you to do so, to acknowledge that He gave His life for you, that nothing you can do of yourself can save yourself, but to accept His death and His shed blood and His resurrection. Accept Him as your Savior and then declare and demonstrate that by following Him in waters of baptism as a believer in Jesus Christ. If you want to talk to someone more privately about that in the next week or so, just call me. If you want to have a discussion about your children, are they ready, and so on, then we're certainly willing to have that discussion with you. Let's take a moment to pray. Lord, we thank You this morning for Your Word, that it brings us clarity and direction in life. Lord, we thank You for Your death on the cross for our sins. We thank You for that power that raised You from the dead. Lord, we thank You that You've given us the privilege to serve You. We thank You this morning that not only have You given us direction and how we should follow You, but Lord, You set for us the example where You fulfilled all righteousness and humbly allowed Yourself. So, Lord, that we would have an example that we can follow. And so I thank You, Lord, for that experience that I had many years ago. Lord, I know this morning that everyone listening to this is reflecting on that moment when they, or that place, that time, that setting, that moment when they were baptized in water. Lord, how it felt to identify themselves and the strength that came from making that declaration that I am a follower of Jesus Christ. For those that have not yet made that decision, Lord, I just pray that Your Holy Spirit would just comfort them, that your Holy Spirit would convict them. Lord, that they would make that decision, that they too need to stand and publicly declare their faith in Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, we look forward. We thank you for those that have already come and requested. Lord, recognizing that this is the time in their lives. This is the moment when they want to stand in front of their church family and their friends and publicly declare their faith in you. And so, Lord, I pray for those over the next few days that will ponder this in their hearts, or give them the courage to take that stand for you, knowing that when they do, Lord, every ounce of strength that they'll need will be given to them. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.